You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, let's go to the scripture reading. It's in Proverbs today, chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up, and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And Father God, we just want to ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day is not for all women. It's only for women who have children and are mothers. It is a day, though, that all of us can celebrate, because it is a day that we all take note of the fact that we all have mothers. Every one of us. There's not a one of us doesn't have a mother. And there's not a time in history that I know of. Of course, I'm not a real student of history, but let's just say there's not a time in the history of those that are sitting here today where the care and the love and the emotion and the consistency matters more in our society than a mother's care and love and consistency does today. And we're going to see some of the reasons for that. And believe it or not, guys, it's a mother that really holds a family together. As much as you think you're in charge, it may be your castle. It's her home. And boy, she is responsible for maintaining and holding it together. And they do. The ones that are godly, virtuous, and generous mothers do. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Father, we do thank you for the blessing of being here this morning. We thank you for the joy of fellowship as we're with one another. We're thankful for the study and the impact the Word has, because faith comes from hearing. And so we pray, Father, that as we hear, we have ears to hear, and we pray that our faith be strengthened and built up. We pray, Father, for a blessing on each of the mothers that are here today. We pray for them to be felt loved and comforted. We pray that they might feel honored today, and particularly that your message might touch their hearts. We thank you, Father, for these graces, for we ask them in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Motherhood began in Genesis when God gave the order to be fruitful and replenish the earth. We don't see that command completed until we get into Genesis chapter 3, and there's been the fall, and sin has entered, and Adam and Eve are cast out. And in chapter 3, we see that Adam knew his wife Eve and conceived a son named Cain. It's interesting to note that motherhood comes to its fruition in the fall. I can't imagine what it would have been like to have been a child in the garden and to have lived under such tremendously perfect conditions. Maybe God reserved that for His children through Christ for a particular reason. I don't know. I can't say. Let me tell you something I do know. There is something going around the internet today saying, you're an awesome mom. And if you got that, you know what I'm talking about. I wouldn't have known about it, but Sherry got it, and since I opened up the email, I saw it. And let me read to you what it says. It was really cute because it came with these beautiful pictures of these little babies. Beautiful pictures of these little babies. But it goes like this. Before I was a mom, I never tripped over toys or forgot words to a lullaby. I didn't worry whether or not my plants were poisonous, and I never thought about immunizations. I had never been puked on, pooped on, chewed on, peed on. I had complete control of my mind and my thoughts, and I slept all night. Before I was a mom, I never held down a screaming child so doctors could do tests or give shots. I never looked into teary eyes and cried. I never got gloriously happy over a simple grin. I never sat up late hours at night watching a baby sleep before I was a mom. I never held a sleeping baby just because I didn't want to put them down. I never felt my heart break into a million pieces when I couldn't stop the hurt. I never knew that something so small could affect my life so much. I never knew that I could love someone so much. I never knew I would love being a mom before I was a mom. I didn't know the feeling of having my heart outside my body. I didn't know how special it could feel to feed a hungry baby. I didn't know that bond between a mother and her child. I didn't know that something so small could make me feel so important and happy before I was a mom. I had never gotten up in the middle of the night every 10 minutes to make sure all was all right. I had never known the warmth, the joy, the love, the heartache, the wonderment, or the satisfaction of being a mom. I didn't know I was capable of feeling so much before I was a mom. That's really beautiful. It's really touching. And it's so true. Now, guys, we have no understanding of that. I don't want you guys to zone out on me. I want you to hang in there with me because there's things here. This is the Word of God we're going to study this morning. And when we study the Word, we need to learn the Word. I didn't write this, but it does say all Scripture, and it's important for us to pay attention to that. You know, the law of the mother is so important. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 1. The law of the mother. The father has a responsibility to give instruction, but the law of the mother is not to be forsaken. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, and we see, really, if we back up to verse 7, that the fear of the Lord is coupled with this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. There is a supposition here that the command for children to hear the instruction and not to forsake the law comes from godly parents and a godly character. The reverence for this law has to be inculcated. It has to be taught to children. Instructions, because children are by nature wayward. Anybody disagree with that? No. No, I mean, sin is just bound up in a child. And so not instruction alone is good enough. It is the law, and you know what the law is, and if you don't, you know, it's driving down the street, and all of a sudden you look in your mirror, and what do you think? Oh, there's the law. What you going to do, bad boy, when they come for you? It's the law. And the law is what gives us that discipline and that punishment when we step out of the rule and the guide of instructions. And I'll tell you something else as you look at this. There's something that's so critical. There is no ancient system that recognizes the mother's just and equal claim than the Christian system. You see it here. It's not just the instruction of a father and a father only. It is also the law of the mother. Look over in chapter 6, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. It says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Co-partners, equal in this responsibility. Look at chapter 15, verse 20. Chapter 15, verse 20 says, "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother." Chapter 20. Verse 20, reemphasizing the fact that there is really no other ancient system that recognizes a mother's just and equal claim. Verse 20 of chapter 20, "Whoso curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." Go to chapter 23, verse 22. "Hearken unto thy father that begot thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." In chapter 30, verse 17, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." Whoa! You know, it all comes back to that commandment to honor thy father and thy mother. The first commandment with promise. And that was the profession that Paul wrote about Timothy. That he had honored his mother, and not only his mother, but his grandmother. In not only hearing the instructions, but in obeying the instructions. And so here we are in Proverbs chapter 31. We've read this whole passage about a virtuous woman. And I want to give you four areas of life that we're going to kind of quickly look at that deal with a woman. And that first area is that relationship that she has with God. She is to be a virtuous woman. And virtue only comes from the instructions and the wisdom of God. She's to be a virtuous woman. I think the second area of life that she has is a responsibility in her community, in her neighborhood, as she grows up in her church and in her school and in her activities, and that she further it, that she progress it, that she pay attention to it and not just live her life for herself. I think the third one is that if she chooses to be married, then that she honor her husband. And fourth, then, is that she raise her children as God has commanded her to raise her children. And in that, the thing that calls all of us is me, myself, and I. What about me? Where am I? How do I fit into this? If that is followed, those four areas are followed, then by circumstance, the fifth one, herself, and all of those needs and all those desires will be met. But it's got to follow along that path. We see it start there in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a virtuous woman? Well, a virtuous woman is a woman, I think, as we look at verse 26, who when she opens her mouth, She opens her mouth and she speaks what? Trash? No. Wisdom. Wisdom. Not only does she speak wisdom, but in her law is the law, or in her tongue is the law of kindness. A woman who reverences and loves God and follows His precepts and is guided by His direction that He has given in this book of life. Book of life, the Bible. I always think of that. B-I-B-L-E, not the song. Not the song, but the acronym, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. It's to guide all of us. It's to guide us and to care for each and every one of us. Verse 11, the heart of her husband does she safely trust. Now, this is a really unique relationship. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. This is such a wonderful relationship between a husband and a wife. And it's a relationship today, I think, as we've seen in many times before, the feminists have distorted. They've called it a slave-master relationship, and it is in many cultures. But only in the one where the light has been shown, only where the Word of God has gone to expose what is error and what is truth, what is false and what is real, that the woman can justly claim her right to be equal with the man. Now, when we read this, there's some complications. Verse 21 is where we're going to start. It says, submit yourselves one to another in the fear or reverence of Christ. It says God. All of us have that responsibility. Husbands, wives, husbands, children, parents. We all have that responsibility to submit ourselves. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Now, let's stop right there because husbands have a responsibility. Go look down at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Love your wives. I don't know if love always engenders submission. Not everyone is bent that way. Some people are hell-bent. If I might put that in quotes, that is their inclination, and there's not a thing you can do about it. They have just made a choice, and as hard as you try, and we've seen parents who have had children like that, we've seen friends who behave like that, they have no inclination, but this word is not to them. This word is for them, but it's not to them because they've never come to that point where they've died to self, so that they can live for God. They don't want to have anything to do with it. They'd rather live for themselves, whatever the consequences. But husbands, love your wives. That's our command. That's what God has called us to do, to love our wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Now, come back up to verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, this submission is not a slave-master relationship. This submission is not a dictatorship. It's not a lordship. It is a leadership. God has called the man to be the leader. It is a properly divine order. Come back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we see this divine order that God has set up, beginning with verse 3. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So we've got God, Christ, man, woman. That is the divine order, and there's a purpose and a reason behind that. Doesn't mean that one is sought above the other. It is a divine order for the perfect institution in marriage that a husband is the head of the wife and that the wife submit to the husband, just as a husband must love the wife. There is a guy named Jay Adams. He's an author and a counselor And he has said this, and I'm going to read it, regarding a wife in her submission and obedience to her husband. I quote, "What this means is if a husband's thinking is out of line, his wife's task is to help him correct his thoughts." You can giggle about that. This isn't what he wrote, but that's really true. You remember Ruth Graham? She said, "It's not my job to correct Billy. My job is to love him. It's God's job to correct him." Okay, let me come back and read. This means if a husband's thinking is out of line, his wife's task is to help him correct his thoughts. If his life is out of line, her job is to help him return to God's path. If he simply is perplexed in a decision, she must bring her best reasons to the decision-making process. Help, given respectfully, never conflicts with submission. That is because submission requires her to contribute, to give what she has to offer. And that is what she must do, always in a spirit of respect and with the willingness to obey, even if she doesn't agree. Everybody has that responsibility in that relationship between husband and wife. And that's what God has called us to do in this idea of submit one to another. Wives, submit to your husbands. Come back to Proverbs chapter 31. Verse 11, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She shall do him good and not evil all the days of her life." Now, we get instruction on that over in Titus, and we're going to go there in a minute, but I want to quickly, just because I'm not coming back to Proverbs, I just want to quickly look at your verses here from 13 on through 25 are really verses that deal with her industry and her work ethic and what she's supposed to do, the things that are supposed to keep her hands busy. Verse 13 begins with, "She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar." Verse 15, "She rises also with it while it is yet night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maiden." She's constantly active in this discipline of domestic activity in maintaining the home and the needs of the home. And verse 23, "By this her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land." She has this responsibility. And there's no better passage. Turn to Titus chapter 2 that gives us a delineation of what these responsibilities are. In Titus chapter 2, we can start with verse 1. We're going to move towards 3 and 4 and 5, but verse 1. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober-minded, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. That the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becomes holiness, not false accusers, not giving too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober-minded, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." 3, 4, and 5 is our focus. Aged women. I don't necessarily think that means senior women. I mean, it could be chronological. It could mean age. how old you are. But it doesn't have to mean that. It could just be anybody who's in a relationship where you're the older and should be the wiser and the smarter person to give the instructions. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior has become holiness. Now, that has got to be one of the hardest responsibilities in a woman today. And why is that? It's because the world system does nothing but bombard you in order to infiltrate your thinking about what is holy. You know, we get a picture of that over in Peter. Go over to Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of the braiding or plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Okay. So you see a picture. And the world doesn't really talk about that. The world talks about it the other way. And they say, this is the proper way to be. This is the proper way to act. This is the proper way to behave. That's not what's being taught here. We're back in Titus now, chapter 2, verse 3. That the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior has become holiness, reverence to the Word of God and what He has called them to. Not false accusers, not slanderers, not diabolos. That's that word diabolos. That's the devil. Not given to much wine. And teachers of good things. Verse 5, to be discreet. You know what discreet means? Is that one of those hard words? It means to be moderate, to be temperate, to be self-controlled, to be discreet. Not like a Proverbs 7 woman who's out there in the highway looking for the simple man because her husband's gone. But to be discreet, to be chaste, that's to be pure, to be modest, to be pure in heart. To be keepers at home, domestically inclined. Keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, and to love their children. Oh, I'm sorry, I jumped up a verse. Obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. It all comes back to that first initial relationship that we have. Our main job, whether it's husband, wife, but here we're talking about wives, or it's a son or a daughter, but as a child of God, if no matter what that situation, circumstance in life we find ourselves in, our main responsibility is to know God, to know what His Word is, and to follow and obey it. I've got something that we've used before. Champ's going to play this. It's about 5 minutes long, so sit tight. And this is, we'll finish with this, and we'll have our prayer, but I wanted to get us out early as a gift to all of you mothers. So Champ, Jimmy Dean, he sang a song years ago called IOUs.
You know, most people look through their wallets or their pocketbooks and way down at the bottom past credit cards and baby pictures, green stamps. You usually find a little old dog-eared piece of poetry. I was cleaning out my wallet the other day and I ran across a whole bunch of IOUs. Some of them 30 years overdue. Funny thing is that all these IOUs are owed to one person. And I kind of feel like right now might be a pretty good time for an accounting. Mom, you listening? Mom, I owe you for so many things. A lot of services. Like night watchman, for instance. For lying awake nights, listening for coughs and cries, creaking floorboards, and me coming in too late. You had the eye of an eagle, the roar of a lion, but you always had a heart as big as a house. I owe you for services as a short order cook, chef, baker, for making sirloin out of hamburger, turkey out of tuna fish, and two big old strapping boys out of leftovers. I owe you for cleaning services, for the daily scrubbing of face and ears, all work done by hand, and for the frequent dusting of a small boy's pants to try to make sure that he led a spotless life, and for washing and ironing no laundry could ever do, for drying the tears of childhood and for ironing out the problems of growing up. I owe you for service as a bodyguard, for protecting me from the terrors of thunderstorms and nightmares and too many green apples. And Lord knows I owe you for medical attention, for nursing me through measles, mumps, bruises, bumps, splinters, and spring fever. And let's not forget medical advice either. Oh no, important things like don't scratch it or it won't get well. If you cross your eyes, they're going to stick like that. And probably most important of all was be sure you got on clean underwear, boy, in case you're in an accident. And owe you for veterinarian services, for feeding every lost dog that I dragged home at the end of a rope, and for healing the pains of puppy love. And I owe you for entertainment. Entertainment that kept the household going during some pretty tough times. For wonderful productions at Christmas, 4th of July, and birthdays. And for making make-believe come true on a very limited budget. I owe you for construction work, for building kites, confidence, hopes and dreams, and somehow you made them all touch the sky. And for cementing a family together so it would stand the worst kinds of shocks and blows, and for laying down a good, strong foundation to build a life on. I owe you for carrying charges, for carrying me on your books for the necessities of life that a growing boy just got to have. Things like a pair of high-top boots with a little pocket on the side for a jackknife. And one thing, Mom, I will never, ever forget. When there were only two pieces of apple pie left and three hungry people, I noticed that you were the one who suddenly decided that you really didn't like apple pie in the first place. These are just a very few of the things for which payment is long overdue. The person I owe them to worked very cheap. She managed by simply doing without a whole lot of things that she needed herself. My IOUs add up to much more than I could ever hope to repay. But you know, the nicest thing about it all is that I know that she'll mark the entire bill paid in full for just one kiss and four little words. Mom, I love you.
Well, if you're not able to tell your mom you love her because she's passed on, or she hasn't really been a godly mom and so she's not around, or if you had a child that's not around and they're not there to tell you that they love you, there's never been a perfect mom, there's never been a perfect child. But in the heart of everybody who thinks back of a godly mom, They've got a blessing because her mom, like he said, had a heart as big as a house. And not only built kites, but built confidence, hopes, and dreams. God bless you, moms. God keep you. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the celebration of moms. And it doesn't need to just be one day out of the year, but we need to celebrate Mother's Day every day. They're so good. They take care of so many things. They care for us in such a wonderful way that is a blessing when it's particularly an example of your love, because they have sought your will and want to follow your way in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these blessings in His name. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.